This is Clark MacArthur, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Studio 65, welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of the Sens Call-Ups for Tuesday, September 30th, 2014. I'm Cardinal, and Pan Canuck and I are back to start our third season of talking about the Senators, as well as the rest of the NHL. You can contact us via email at podcast@senscallups.com. You can find us on Twitter, and most importantly, you can find us in the new and mobile-friendly online forums at senscallups.com. Boys, it's been a while since we've done this. What you been doing with yourself this summer?
You can tell it's been a while since we're doing this. We're like big, boring, stealing parts tonight.
Oh, yeah. It's been a bit of an adventure so far tonight. Everything that, actually, things that you wouldn't even imagine would go wrong have gone wrong.
The microphone doesn't work. I lose a power adapter.
I snap the key off in the lock for my car in the trunk when the car is locked.
Oh, it's good to be back, boys.
It's been a challenging day.
Oh, it's been an entertaining, challenging. Challenging. That's a very positive spin. That's well done.
Let's just make sure that you're hitting record right now.
Oh, we are. We are. So tonight's episode is brought to you by Tap 357 Maple Whiskey.
Because we all really needed a drink after this.
Yep. All right.
I'm sipping this.
And Canuck is spewing his.
Oh,
oh, we're off to a bullet of a start today.
It is warm.
Smooth.
It's a lovely whiskey,
it's
actually.
It's been one heck of a summer.
It has been one heck of a summer. Now, what have you been doing for fun this summer? You've been
the last time we spoke, I got promoted.
Yes.
Went to Vegas.
We talked about that last time.
I went to Toronto twice. No, not again.
Oh, okay.
Sold my house. Bought a house. That fell through. What else have I done?
Sold your house again?
Nope. Nope. So that, well, that just kind of came through today, and that was a disaster of its own.
Oh. Oh, well, then you've had...
Yeah, when the home inspector says that you have a leak in the stack, but you don't.
Kind of makes you pop your stack.
For people who can't see me, I've got a very quizzical look on my face. You have a leak in your stack, but you don't.
But I don't.
Did you see the doctor about that?
So now I got to prove it to the buyer that I don't have a leak in the stack.
What is the stack?
The sewer drain.
The main sewer drain. The ventilation for the drain system.
Okay.
So, the house that I'm in, it's a condo. So, I called the condo guy. He sent his plumber. So, it's a condo's plumber to check it out. He's like, no, it's fine. This condensation from the ground that's just kind of coming through the cement, it's with the water table where it is here. So it's not leaking, it's normal, and it's fine. Then the buyer's agent said, that's not good enough, we want an independent plumber. So then my agent is going to pay for the plumber, but because he's paying for it, he gets to choose which plumber to deal with.
Well, as long as he knows one.
So which is more unbiased? The condo plumber?
Or the one that's selling real estate?
Or the one that is selling my house?
Yeah. If it will satisfy them,
ridiculous.
Whatever. Doesn't make
ridiculous.
Any sense.
Ridiculous.
No, it doesn't. But if it'll satisfy them and everything can move forward, then that's all you really need.
I feel bad for my guy because he's got to pay for it now.
Oh, well, it's a cost of doing business.
It's ridiculous.
And you're paying him to take care of costs like this, so you shouldn't feel bad for him.
True.
What have you done for fun this summer, Canuck?
What the hell happened to this summer?
Well, you travel a lot. You were down east an awful lot.
It's been
lot
a busy
work.
September, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Mm. But what did you do for fun? Like in July and August and September? What did you do?
Well, as well as a lot of trips to the Atlantic Canada in there, some vacation, some work. So I think I got Fredericton, Moncton, St. John, Halifax, St. John's, Charlottetown all covered. So
you brought the family to Toronto?
Was that, before? That was quite a while ago too, who did the Toronto trip.
Because it's been a long summer.
Yeah.
Well, yes, but it hasn't been a very warm one. When the warmest day of the year is in September.
Yeah. Of course I was sick.
That I was sailing that day. It was lovely. That's what I've done.
Oh, that's the other thing I did. I went fly fishing.
What?
What?
And?
It was fun.
Did you learn how
so
to fly
fish? So I went down to, it was near Syracuse.
Okay.
Then I went, caught two little fish, and then I caught my hand.
Oh, how'd that feel?
Welcome to Fish Hooks. That's not
true. Oh my God, that was so painful.
Because your first reaction is to pull away from it, which just embeds the hook.
No, the the first reaction is to shriek.
Well, that too.
Oh.
Yeah. They're very sharp.
So painful. Yeah. So between that and catching a bunch of trees and
fly fishing,
that's not fun.
Fly fishing is not, it takes years to perfect the skill. It's a lot of work. That's why fishing from a boat is easier. No trees.
No, true.
Pam, when you were in Toronto, you actually guested on Todd Van Allen's podcast.
I forgot I did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to it yet, I know I put it in the forums and Twitter and stuff. So yeah, Cat P is the...
Comedy Above the Pub, C-A-T-P, Cat P.
Oh.
That's why it stands for Cat P. It's a play on words.
I misunderstood that.
Yeah. Oh, you thought it was like Cat P on a bush, on a gooseberry bush wine? No, something different.
It's got a cat.
Comedy Above the
it's
Pub.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So good to see TVA. And hopefully when he's in Ottawa, he'll be able to be on here.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Todd Van Allen is a professional comedian, and he's quite a hilarious fellow. Check out his podcast. It's a lot of fun. It was really funny to listen to that episode because it was just shockingly different from all the rest where he has guest comedians on. It was, I have this podcast guy from Ottawa. We're going to talk Sens hockey. It is funny listening to him trying to talk about the three of us. So you got the fisherman, you got the antagonizer, and you got the fart noise making dickhead.
That's you.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, I can live with being a fisherman. I did a lot of that this summer. Yeah. I actually spent 2 weeks with my phone turned off. I was on four different lakes and a river, my phone was on once for 6 hours when I went into town, but other than that, it was off for 2 weeks, and it was really, really quite wonderful to be completely disconnected. Turn the radio on to find out what the weather is, and then turn the radio off. It was great. Did a lot of fishing. Certainly did a lot of learning about fishing because that's one of my other main hobbies. But I also a friend of mine has a 26-foot Tanzer sailboat, and he's taken me out on the on Lac des Chênes in the Ottawa River a couple of times.
Wow. So for those of you tuning in tonight for the first time ever, this is the Ottawa Senators podcast. And we talk hockey.
Well, we'll get to that eventually, but we had to talk a little bit.
We should probably introduce ourselves.
These things are 2 hours for a reason.
Well, I introduced myself in the opening gambit. But
that was hilarious. Todd Van Allen is like, he couldn't fathom why we're all using aliases, Canuck Cardinal Pan. So let's just get this out in the open now, Todd. So I work for a super secure organization. If I told you where I worked, I'd have to kill you. Pan?
I can be in massive conflict of interests if I mix hockey with my professional career.
And Cardinal?
I'm a privacy advocate. I'm just very, very private. That's all. It's nothing. I don't have a great excuse like you guys. I'm just intensely private. So
there you have it. That's why.
this is like a role I play. It has nothing to do with the rest of my life. So.
Totally realize we're going to just keep playing this up now.
Right? Well, it just kind of answers it. So three years.
Absolutely.
Later.
Exactly. Sorry about that. If people were wondering, there you go. It only took three seasons to get that out there.
And when people learn about what I do, they're like, of course.
Well, that makes sense. I'm just private.
Not that I know anything about that.
Exactly. No. Right. So let's talk some hockey, shall we? There's no game on because...
No game!
No. Well, preseason doesn't really count.
Actually, they're playing right now.
They are playing right now.
They're losing.
They're losing?
They're in Winnipeg, but apparently they're losing. But that's okay. We can. There are other things we can talk about than preseason games. Because preseason games, honestly, unless they're against the Leafs, and I really want the team to win because twice. They're playing the Leafs, which they did win
twice.
Didn't
that feel good?
And they also won against Toronto in the rookie tournament.
Yeah.
6-2.
Yeah, we didn't do that great, though.
No, well, in the rookie tournament, we ended the tournament 2-1.
That's fun. That one was fun.
Yeah.
Darren Kramer was awesome.
In the shootout win against the Hawks, he had a busy game, Darren Kramer did.
two goals, two fights?
Two fights, one goal, one assist.
Take that, Gordie Howe.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, preseason games, it's really about looking to see how the team is doing. And I think that the Senators have been doing a lot of that in the preseason. They've been mixing up an awful lot of different lines. And yes, everybody wants to see the Stars play all the time. But I mean, if you look at out in Winnipeg, no Turris, no MacArthur, no Ryan, no...
Right now?
No Legwand.
Oh, geez.
No Carlson.
Spanish ads leading the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're really looking at the rest of the players that are still here because the Binghamton team is over in France.
Yeah.
So,
but with that too, it's just like,
yeah, that's okay.
Why are you going to play the big guys anyways? You know, they made the team.
You know what they're going to do. So it's your opportunity, especially for the guys in Ottawa, to see the Binghamton players up close and to see, you know, who's on the bubble and build
who
their priority
list. Who
can
play with who too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Pumple's just meshing with anyone.
Yeah. He's looking
pretty
very good.
Sure I could set him up for like 15 goals.
You know, what's really too bad is I was actually in Newfoundland the week that the Senators were there playing their two games.
Yeah, you missed out.
I know, because they really played on Monday and I didn't get there till Wednesday.
Oh, that sucks.
So I just missed them by a couple days.
That's unfortunate.
If only you needed more opportunity to see the Sens.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I never get to see them. Right? But you know what? I might be back in Newfoundland later this month and the Binghamton Senators are there. I think
I was going to say to play the
October
Ice Caps.
October 21-22. Ice Caps have renewed for a season. So,
there you go.
Well, cross fingers, maybe we'll get to see him.
Is that where Ivan is?
Well, Ivan's in Newfoundland. He's not, I talked to him, he's not in St. John's. He's other side of the province.
No.
Actually, the Jets are keeping the Ice Caps in, I wrote this down, they're keeping the Jets in St. John's until at least 2016.
Perfect.
So they renew them for 2 years. Yeah.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. So that's probably the longest commute for an AHL player to get to their NHL team.
That's a nice place to play hockey, though.
Oh, it is.
Where's the ECHL team now? Indiana?
Ours? Rockford, Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah. It's not too far on the grand scheme of things.
I misread it as Indiana. I was like, what the hell?
Well, Indiana's closer.
Yeah, actually, Indiana's closer.
They have too many states.
So Pan doesn't work in geography.
No, but speaking of road trips, and I guess we can announce this one because both of us got our vacation approved.
Oh?
So, yeah, Canuck and I will be doing another road trip.
I don't even know this, so...
Oh, you forgot.
You've already told this?
Yeah, Colorado, because we were trying to get you to come, but you just...
Oh, Colorado, okay, yeah.
Colorado, Phoenix, and Dallas.
It's in January.
In January, hey.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great time of year to travel to Colorado.
Yeah, no, whatever, there. We're going to Phoenix after, so
that's right.
That'll be fun.
Yes. Oh, well, that's right. I remember this now because I said if I was going anywhere in January, because this is early January, I believe.
Yep. You're saying Jamaica?
No, I have a friend's wedding in Mexico.
Oh, yes.
So I might go to that. I haven't really decided on it yet.
No, that'll be fun because Colorado's a good, fun, fast, young team.
It'll be some good games.
It's always fun when tourists play Phoenix.
And you can see Rob Klinkhammer when you're there.
Well, yeah. Say hi to Vermette instead. And then, of course, Dallas. Now, with Spezza being there, that's going to be a big deal.
Actually, nice. It's not just Spezza who's there. Spezza and Hemsky.
That's right. And Gonchar.
Yeah.
And Patrick Eaves.
Exactly.
Hey,
go Eaves.
Texas Chad, make sure you hook us up.
Yep. 4 tickets, please. Get one for yourself, too.
Yeah,
while you're there. Pour one for yourself while you're there.
Well, we started.
Speaking of, what's
this?
It's pretty freeform. That's all right. We're not talking about game summary, so it's taking a little while to get in the groove, especially after our opening talking about our summaries. It's all right. Personnel changes. We can talk a little bit about those because some of the new players that are coming in, I haven't had a great chance to to show what they can do in the preseason so far, as well as during the rookie tournament, because some of the players that are coming in, well, we'll talk about Lazar in a second. I want to talk, I mean, there's a couple of players out, obviously Spezza out, Hemsky out, Cassian out. Leguan was the first person who arrived, technically. Yep. And
I called that one in the forums, didn't I?
I don't know. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Whatever. He
I nailed it.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kai. How do you feel about him?
Love it.
He's been playing very well. I've been impressed with what he's been doing so far.
Former team captain. And he'll be a shutdown guy.
Well, that's kind of the role he plays these days.
Yeah.
He was drafted. Where was he drafted?
Nashville.
No.
First ever Nashville.
No, but what?
Third overall.
Second overall?
Second overall.
Oh, was it?
Wow.
Okay.
Behind.
This is Brad Stewart, which was third to San Jose, and Le Cavalier.
Exactly. He was drafted to be another Le Cavalier, essentially.
Yeah, that was my draft year. That was Mike Fisher year.
Wow.
He's also the third oldest player on the team.
Third oldest player?
Third oldest player.
Who is the oldest? Is it Phillips?
Chris Phillips.
Phillips.
Who's
Neil.
Second? Neil.
Chris yeah. Neil.
And I'm older than Leguan
mm-hmm.
by 2 weeks.
And there's only one other player who's over 30.
McCollick?
Nope. Doesn't turn 30 until December.
Hang on here. Let me think about this.
Oh, Dave. And
one more. This is scintillating radio.
It's not my thought, right? Nope. He's still 20s.
Nope. Meanwhile, our listeners are going, I know this one.
Is it Gil Blatton dressed again?
No, it's not Gil. He's only about 26.
Oh, my God. Ow.
Drinking problem.
Wow. Anderson.
Ding.
Oh,
correct answer.
Yeah.
Anderson 33, Leguan 34, Neil 35, Phillips 36. Only players over 30. Young.
That's team. Exciting.
Young team. Very young team.
Yeah. We may not be saying that halfway through the season, but for now it's exciting.
Okay, there are going to be the excitement may be long term, but it's still exciting. Even if the team struggles this year, I still think it's going to be exciting to watch. It just may not be, you know, everybody wants it to be, oh, well, I want to be in first place. Well, it's not going to happen.
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But I think they're going to do, well, I think they'll do better than last year, and I think they'll do
and
better
I mentioned
than
this expect. On CatP, too. It's just, I'm not excited about this year. I'm excited about next year.
I think it may take another year or two, but I think this year will be better than last year. As long as this year is better than last year.
Yeah, it can't get much worse.
Well, exactly. Set your expectations appropriately. Make them easier to be fulfilled. Chiasson.
As an Asian, that's very hard.
There you go. Chiasson.
I heard he's pretty good so far.
Chiasson. And that's how he wishes it to be pronounced.
Alex Chiasson.
You know, I was listening to where was I? It was when I was in Newfoundland, it was the Wednesday. It was the Ottawa Senators were playing in Ottawa and in Toronto. So I got to see both games.
Mm-hmm.
They actually showed the Ottawa game locally.
Yes, because that's the local broadcast area.
Yep. But I turned on to Leafs Radio, which is a buddy there who calls all the Leafs games on...
Joel Bowen.
Bowen. And he was actually saying Chiasson.
He was trying, yeah.
So he was...
which is impressive.
Good on him. Everybody's getting the...
Every year you get the Fanatics
book,
so...
Well, the memo's out on that guy.
Compared to what he said about Mika Zibanejad the first time Mika played in Toronto.
What did he say again?
He said, why can't he have a name like Smith that's easier to pronounce?
Nice.
What a quality broadcast move that is. Yeah, I remember that one.
Especially for Toronto, a most multicultural city.
However, the best news of all the acquisitions of this summer, I think the best news...
Jason Smith as an assistant coach.
No, that's a coaching, which we'll talk about in a minute. Nope.
Oh,
yeah. The best news is a player we didn't get. Who was the player that we were really afraid we were going to get?
What? No.
No.
It's a Chris Stewart. Pouliot.
Chris Stewart. We didn't get Chris Stewart.
Jesus.
We did not. Which
what
I'm
happened?
Very happy.
He's still in
Buffalo. Okay. But there was a lot of rumor that he was going to be coming here.
Yes, yes.
And you never know.
Well.
And I hope not. There's no room.
Where would we put him?
I don't want him.
Well, I don't want him either.
I don't think anyone wants him.
Besides which, if we were to get him, we'd have to give up something. And quite frankly, I can't think of anything that we would give up that I would want to give up for a player I don't want.
And even Shane Prince that doesn't want to be here?
I wouldn't have given up Jim O'Brien. Because I don't want
even though he's a free agent?
Well, no, but I wouldn't have done it last year. Here, you can have a player we don't want. No. So
no,
I'm happy about that.
There's no need. At 4.25 or something like that, too.
For two more years, this season and next season.
Yeah, forget that.
Don't think so. So happy he's not here.
Listen, he makes more than my call.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, thanks.
Well, he's making very close to Clark MacArthur's extension. Clark MacArthur's extension was 4.65.
What a beautiful contract.
But Clark MacArthur at 4.65, Chris Stewart at 4.25.
Yeah, no thanks.
Not comparable.
No thanks.
That's what I mean. It's crazy. I just don't understand why.
I love the MacArthur signing.
Oh,
just
it's
give
brilliant.
Give him a C right there.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And you met Clark MacArthur at the Fan Fest. That's where you heard the intro to this episode. Now, compare it this year at FanFest compared to last year at FanFest with Clark MacArthur.
Yeah, he was sitting there alone, just doubting every move that he did.
Last year.
No one wanted to talk to him.
Well, that was right after Daniel Alfredson, and he was the news, an ex-Leaf.
Yeah, it was, and I felt really bad when I heard about that at FanFest last year, because it was like, oh, geez. I mean, I didn't know anything about him, but... It was
except that he was scratched and all that in the playoffs. And
Well, I knew that he was a decent player. I mean, honestly, when he was on the league, I don't think he looked as good playing for Toronto as he does playing here.
Just think about that for a second, Sens fans. The Toronto Maple Leafs that blew that Game 7 3-goal lead, that's the team that scratched Clark MacArthur at that game.
They deserved to lose it. Oh, they did!
Oh, yeah, look at that.
And wasn't it fantastic?
They lost it in epic fashion, but I have to say, that was two seasons ago.
That was worth it for them to make the playoffs once out of 9 years.
I think their meltdown last year was even better. Mm. Winning 2 out of 14? To go from 89% availability?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I remember being upset at my TV that they were winning. I turned it off and went upstairs and
that's true.
Did some sort of like shaving activity or something stupid. And then I kept looking at the score updates like, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, really?
On!
I'll watch this.
Turn on the TV!
This is epic.
Just awesome.
Exactly. Well, other extensions that have been signed would be, the other one that would be Craig Anderson. This was a bit of a surprise.
Shocked.
I'm surprised that he wanted to sign it.
I'm not shocked. Well, actually shocked in a good way. Like, as in...
I'm very pleasantly surprised.
I'm very happy with this.
I am, yeah. It's like, why does he want this extension?
Yes, I thought
now?
He'd go UFA.
Yep.
Because it would be his best time to do it.
Exactly.
But if he's happy with whatever the team has negotiated as far as, you know, how things are going to work, I'm okay with it.
So take that fragile Ottawa Sens fan psyche that players don't want to be here. Clark MacArthur extends... Best news of the summer. And Craig Anderson.
And do you realize that Craig Anderson and Robin Leonard together cost less than $500,000 more than Ben Bishop?
I know. I don't understand why Tampa was doing throwing that type of money.
I was a little confused.
I mean, I'm with those fans that really want to see and know that Robin Leonard's the future. But hey, right now,
he's the future.
What's the problem with two good goalies? That is not a problem.
One will ascend and one will descend, and it will just balance itself out.
I hope so.
Yeah, he is the future. He's not the present. And I think that's the thing that a lot of people are going, he's the future. We should just give it to him now. Not after last season.
Well, no. But he also plays better when someone's pushing him, too. So
Yes.
So it's a perfect arrangement for everybody. So... I'm ecstatic about it, too.
I still don't see what Anderson gets out of it, except for, I guess, stability.
$12.6 million is what he gets out of it.
But I think if Tampa and Florida didn't lock up their goaltending, he would have looked to go back to Florida.
Maybe.
That's where he's from, or that's where he lives.
Maybe, but I'm very pleased with it. Very pleased. I think it's great.
And it's a movable contract.
Yeah,
actually. Both of them are, but I'd rather just stick with it.
And it gives stability for... It gives us a chance to develop our next goalie or goalies, whether it's Dreider or whether it's
Hammond.
Hogberg.
Yeah.
I mean, long term.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Hammond's an AHL goalie.
Yeah.
Hammond for now, because he's certainly...
Dreider's struggled. Well, but it's his first
he's
year
young.
Pro.
He's yeah. young, exactly. Yeah. Hammond struggled a little bit when he joined the team last year, and I mean, he certainly displaced Lawson eventually.
He'll be an AHL goalie. That's all he is, but that's fine.
Never know. Can't say. People said that about Ben Bishop. Ben Bishop was 27 years old when he joined the NHL.
He was backed behind Halak and Elliott and Jake Allen and Ben Bishop.
But he also took time to develop. Like, he didn't come into his stride until 25, 26. So.
Yeah, but that's normal for a goalie.
Yeah. So
I think Dreiger's got the most upside out of all of that.
It'll take time.
And Hogberg's just Leonard's twin.
Hmm. We'll see how it goes. On other signing news, or lack of signing, there are three that aren't signed yet. Three UFAs coming up that aren't signed yet.
Coming up.
This is going.
Yeah.
Well, There are three, one of which is never talked about, which is Eric Condra. So we'll just leave that one aside for now. But nobody talks about the fact that he's a UFA at the end of this season. They just don't.
Well,
there's a lot of talk that he might... he might have a challenge making the team.
Well, he's also injured at the moment.
I disagree with that. Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, he hasn't played a game yet.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he got held out a couple of days ago.
Yeah. Well, he's a defensive player, so you know we'll see where it goes. But, I mean, of the other two... Oh, final score, Winnipeg 2, Ottawa 1. Sorry.
Ottawa 1? Oh.
The other two negotiations that are out there, I mean, we can talk about these briefly. Mathot would
There's
be the first
game
one.
Recap, guys.
There you go. Ottawa didn't win, but they'll be back in town tonight because they're flying back. Mathot. This one's complicated. I mean, it got a little...
when agents go bad.
Yeah, his agent went a little cuckoo talking to a reporter, and the reporter went a little, oh, look, I've got a great story. I'm going to publish this. And then
that's where he works.
Yeah. And everything went a little nutso after that one. But
Le Soleil.
Le Soleil. Nice.
Le Cirque du Soleil.
There was some talking going on after that, but the story that was coming out was there seems to be a bit of different views of value.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
after that, it's not only monetary value.
No, but it's also playing position and so on.
I think really what happened there was the agent tried to get fans on Mathot's side. Didn't work.
I don't think it worked.
Didn't work.
Now, because there was a lot of talk about the asking. I mean, one side was saying this and the other side was saying the numbers aren't right. So we'll take it with a very large, we'll take it with an entire shaker of salt. Not just a grain of salt, but a shaker of salt.
I lost my shaker of salt in Margaritaville.
Did you? Oh, dear. Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Your contributions are very valuable to this podcast.
I know.
Well done, sir. Well played. Have another
fart noise.
Though.
Fart noise.
Sit there, dickhead.
The number that was thrown around was $5.5 million. Was what?
Yeah, no.
Now, the comparable. I did a little bit of research. It's not math. It's just research. And I was looking at what comparables that this might be being drawn from. And of course, the one that's obvious is Brooks Orpik, who is being paid $6.5 million for 5 years, which is a ridiculous amount of money for him.
So does Mathot also want to get bought out next summer?
Don't know.
I'd love a buyout.
I was looking at numbers that I thought might be more reasonable. And for players that play, to my mind, a similar value of game, not necessarily style of game, but value of game. And the one that sticks out to me the most, Nicholas Chalmerson. Nicholas? Did I get that right first?
Yep.
Okay. 5 years, $4.25 million signed this year.
He's not top two, though.
Well, that's because who's he playing behind?
Right.
If he was on any other team, he'd be a top two. Yeah. Because he's behind Keith and Seabrook. But I mean, if one of those gets injured, he's the one that goes up there. So he is a number two, but he plays number three because of who the number one and two are.
You know what?
Not current.
Honestly, like 4.5, 5.5. Do we as fans really give a damn, though?
Hey, I gave for $300,000 on Griba, so
but
yes.
Why? As fans, do we want him on our team or not?
I do.
Do you really think that $1 million is going to make a big difference down the long haul? Are we that tight?
No, I think it's. I think it's a pro. I look at it.
It's your opportunity cost, too.
I think it's merely a matter of paying what correct amount.
Oh, I agree. And I think that's why negotiations are going on. But at the end of the day, do we want this guy?
We do, but it also sets a precedent for every other negotiation you're doing.
Oh, I agree. Because now you're comparing him to Carlson, who's making what, 6.5?
6.5.
And you think, oh, geez, you know, okay, that means that he needs to be paid like 9.5 or whatever. And
if the Sens come out and say no one can make more than Carlson, you're never going to get a player again.
Well, if you're going to pay Mathot $5.5 million, what are you going to pay Cody Ceci in 2 years?
I understand.
So, yeah. I mean, it's really about balancing. It's not just about the actual number. It's about the relative value, I think. So
4 years, $5 million, get it over with.
I still think five is overpaying him.
Okay, fine. And three for 4.5.
I want to see him back, but man, he is not helping his cause. Well, I mean, it's not his fault, but he's injured.
He's injured. And
okay, we texted about this.
It's apparently the team isn't confirming it, but most sources are saying it's a back problem.
Great. So should he be taping something for this hour's 22 minutes?
Well, that has nothing to do with being a back injury. It's public relations, and I mean, his brain's not hurt. He doesn't have a broken foot or anything. He's got I don't see a problem with it. If anything, it gets people talking about the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah.
A little.
I think he'll be back. I don't think it's going to go that sour, but we do have a overabundance in defensemen that probably won't last.
But without him, who can play with Carlson?
Well, there are a number of possibilities who can play with Carlson.
Who can play with Carlson well?
Well, why don't we see if what Philip Kuba's doing these days?
Yeah, because he made Carlson.
Oh, freak.
He made Carlson.
I forgot about that.
Hey, it's really
pull Andy Sutton out of retirement.
It's find the player who fits correctly, not necessarily the style of player you want, but the player who fits correctly. Philip Kuba, not a physical guy, but he was a very effective defense pairing with Eric Carlson.
What about Borowiecki?
It could be Boro. He was playing with Wierkosz tonight.
Yeah. And I'd like to see more of Wierkosz this year.
But Wierkosz is more similar to Kuba. When
if
you stop
Cowan has a good year, Mathot is screwed.
There's no way Cowan's having a worse year than last year.
I don't think he will.
But he has to have a good year.
Yeah.
Because really, the organization was expecting Cowan to play with Carlson long term.
That's what the original plan was. Yeah.
Yep.
But they could also put in Clayson.
Well, he's going to be the captain in Binghamton, right?
This year.
This year.
Well, you know, if
he deserves to be up here.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's there are so many different possibilities that I'm not going to say, well, this is the right one. But there are possibilities if Mathot can't play. And, I mean, he hasn't played a game yet in preseason. So who knows how long he's going to be out because it's a back injury.
Can we snake one of these guys, like a Jalmerson, out of Chicago? I would love that. They've got cap issues.
But what are they going to want for him? What are you willing to give up? Lazar?
Nope.
Well, that's what they'll ask for.
Who knows?
Zibanejad wouldn't be enough.
Okay, fine. Then you're over the cap.
Well, they're not yet.
They have a week.
They have, don't they have somebody on LTIR?
Well,
Prince and Pajot.
You might get a bag of pucks for those two, but I don't see them being all that valuable. Honestly.
Sell it.
Trade him for Jordan Staal.
There you go.
Yeah, Jordan Stahl's going to be hurt for a while. Yeah. And he's got a long-term contract.
Okay.
Long-term. He's signed until 2022. Okay.
What is going on in the NHL? It's an epidemic of injuries right now, and the season hasn't started.
I think people overtrain and then overtrain for the wrong things. Like that.
Well, this is all in preseason games, so.
It's all preseason games, but people train so much. Who was I listening to an interview with?
That was on Team 1200.
They were, you know, they train, I'm doing air quotes, they train all summer, but they don't play hockey. Right. So they get themselves in really, really good shape doing other things, but they're out of hockey shape and they expect to walk on the ice. It's like me, I mean, on a very, very non-equal basis. If I don't ride my bike for a couple of weeks because I've got a lot of things going on or I was away, I get on my bike and I figure I can do, you know, an average speed of 26, 27 kilometers an hour for 30 kilometers. Well, at about kilometer 8, I suddenly hit a brick wall going, I can't do this. Because I haven't done it for a while. My body is capable of it, but it's going to take a while to work back up to that. And I'm wondering if they're just overdoing it when they get back on the ice.
Well, according to Kessel, you can just skate 10 times and that's good enough, right?
Apparently so.
Yeah, but these are big names like Crosby, Malkin. It's a whole bunch of Leafs that are injured.
Giroux. He was out.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, there's quite a few. We'll see. I mean
that sucks.
Well, it's good for the Sens.
Yeah. No, but I don't like injuries.
I don't like injuries.
I don't want to beat a team that's injured. I want to beat a team at full strength.
That sucks. Yeah. Like the Leafs, for example. Anyway.
Well, that's just, they blow.
Seriously, Clarkson, don't get in a fight now with some schlub.
Broken orbital bone.
Aw.
I got to defend my team.
What a pinhead. What a pinhead.
Hold me back, Loops.
Solid. Nicely done.
That was Kadri, right?
That was Kadri.
Yeah.
There was one other player who's not signed, but they're in a bit of a different situation with Bobby Ryan, and that he really, I mean, it's been fairly amicable that he wants to see what the team is going to be like and what his role is. And
I'm not liking it.
It's not the role; it's what the team is.
I'm okay with it. He's being completely straightforward.
They're giving him okay. Do you want to play power play? Do you want to play PK? Go.
They even moved him over to left wing.
They offered him $7 million for 7 years.
Doesn't matter. He will get $7 million for 7 years from 29 other teams.
I think he really wants to see what his situation is going to be with, because when he was in Anaheim, he wasn't playing as a top-line player. And honestly, he is one. So he wants to get top-line minutes, top-line ability, you know, that sort of thing.
On a very good team.
Yeah. But, I mean, even top line minute. Well, I mean, depending on where he can go, there are a lot of very good teams that won't be able to afford him.
Yeah, but they can just trade and dump. They always do. They always do.
There's no more, what were they called? The buyouts right after the lockout.
No, but that's fine. Compliance. They'll trade and dump.
I haven't seen too much of that this year.
No, but there hasn't really been any teams that are on the brink of things.
Well, there are some that are over. To try to sign somebody, yeah. Can't say.
For Bobby Ryan, you do it.
You got to drop a lot to get him, though.
Okay, well, you take... You almost treat it like an RFA deal, where you sign Ryan, and then you know that Ottawa needs to fill a massive gap and are way under the cap. You send back a couple players for nothing, and then there you go.
But Ottawa may not want what they're trying to get rid of because we've got other people who we'd want to try out. It's a gamble.
It's a gamble, but then you're also way under the cap, too.
But at what point, if this guy doesn't sign, do you start thinking about his value?
Trade deadline.
Trade deadline. If he doesn't sign by the trade deadline, he's gone.
This BS that you have to trade him now to get something?
No.
Because that's going back to people's emotions on Alfredson and losing him for nothing.
Sure.
Which, when his last year was, he was instrumental in the playoff success.
Yes.
So you trade him at the trade deadline when his market value, or leading up, like the week before or 2 weeks before the trade deadline, when his market value is very big.
Yep.
That's when you can get the most for him. Don't pull a Montreal with
Vanek.
Vanek and wait until 3 o'clock and get nothing for him. You do it.
No, that, well, that's the Islanders. And we all know what I feel about the Islanders.
Oh, sorry, Islanders. Yes, they waited too long. I got the names backwards. So we'll see. I am okay with it. I think he's being honest. And he said, you know, it's not that I don't want to be here. It's I just want to see how things are sitting.
From his perspective, I can't blame him. But from a fan perspective, you can understand why fans are nervous when they see that.
Yeah, but people are nervous about absolutely everything and they blow it out of proportion.
But that's our job.
But how many stars were signed in the middle of the season last year in the last year of their contract? Lots. Yeah. It's not the end of the world.
Just look at San Jose. And that's turned out great.
Yeah.
With Thornton and Marlowe.
Thornton and Marlowe. But I mean, was Kessel last year or the year before where he signed in the middle of the year? Just as a
Kessel was in the middle of the year. So it's FNUF. That turned out great.
It happens. It's not the end of the world. I'm not getting bent out of shape like some people.
As long as we have Brian Murray, it's...
I will say this. Ryan looked like he's got a fire under his belly this year.
Oh, he looked good.
That Toronto game?
He looked good.
That was the Bobby Ryan show.
He looked like he was playing at the beginning of the year last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Because everybody remembers that he was struggling to skate because he was skating with a hernia. And he played from November until early March with a hernia.
Yep.
So he's not the fastest skater, but he's not as slow as he was. So, and he's got great hands and he's got great situational awareness. So hopefully it'll work out. We'll see. He's looking pretty good so far. We'll see how he plays against Montreal. Yes,
yeah. And then there's Condra.
And there's Condra, which nobody wants to talk about. So we'll just move that
Corsi.
One.
Corsi!
Yeah, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Do you want Condra or do you want Pumple?
Yeah. Or Condra's a role player.
Depends on the game.
Or do you want Hoffman?
Depends on the game.
Yeah.
So
that's this year, right? So you have them. Great. 13th forward. That's
exactly. We've done that before with Cassian.
In the summer, the Cassian's different role.
A different role, but we've been switching him in and out.
Yeah.
We also did it when we brought up JGP and sat out somebody else. Yep. Like, it happens. So we'll see. I trust the coaching of the team because I don't have any choice in the matter.
Conrad is in a make or break on this team, especially with the guys that are coming up. So
exactly. So
if you let him go, whatever.
It's how the season goes is how the season goes. And I mean, coming up, we don't have any UFAs. Well, we talked about the UFAs. There are actually 4 RFAs coming up at the end of this year, too. Sabanajad is one. Chiasson.
Oh, boy.
Hoffman and Stone. 4 players who can have really big years this year. And if they suddenly cost more money,
then what?
Well, we'll see where the team is sitting. They have a lot of cap space at the moment because of things like this. Spend to the cap. Okay, great. Now what do you do with these players? Oops. We don't have room to sign them anymore because of all these other overpriced people. Now, quickly, players who you think need to take a big step to get the team into the playoffs.
Well, let's start with goaltending.
That's a big question, isn't it?
Goaltending has to be better than it was last year.
Absolutely.
Thanks, radio.
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 Mexican radio. All right.
Defense and defense zone breakouts were horrible last year.
Yes.
Well, they got to fix that.
We've covered part of this last year. Part of this.
I don't understand why they don't block shots.
It's not style of play.
I don't know how it works otherwise.
Puck possession. If you're blocking the shot, you're not going after getting it.
Are we a puck possession team?
Yes. They want to be.
We've been a puck
possession team. We want to be, but we weren't last year.
Well, it wasn't trending,
trending in the right way.
Yeah, but blocking shot means you're not trying to get it. You're simply playing completely defensive. And if you're playing completely defensive, you're not getting the puck. And if you're not getting the puck, you're not getting it out of your zone.
I think you block the shot to get it back.
There is, to be sure. And I'm presuming...
I don't get... Because like, what are you supposed to do? You just block the passing lanes and hope that the puck holder...
You watched New York Rangers
shoots it right
from
on
a couple years ago.
More back checking.
And that's what block shot team
block
is.
Block shots, yeah. Yes.
More back checking. If you put more pressure on the person with the puck, they may not have as good a they won't have the time to set up the shooting lane. Yeah. Or they may not be able to get into it. Or they may be getting screwed up while they're getting into it.
I've got to figure out the breakouts on it.
It's complicated. It's not a simple question.
Yeah.
But players that need to be better, I think this is a big year for eyes on Zibanejad.
Yes.
Yes.
There's a lot of pressure.
You mentioned Cowan.
Cowan.
Big eyes on him. I mean, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Lazar at the beginning, but I don't think he's key to your question, though. That's something else. But,
no. So, Lazar, you got time? Hoffman, this is a make or break year.
Turris, but he's going to be 1C, right?
I'm very glad you said him because he's the one who I think is going to have an awful lot of pressure on. Because it's not that he's not, unlike Cowan and other players who had a bad year last year, so the pressure is to be better. The pressure on Turris is to play as well as he did last year. And that's going to be harder because he's in a bigger role. He has to play as well as he did last year with much more pressure against him. And I think that's going to be very key because he's the new number one center.
Pretty much.
By default, he is. Or the 2A and 2B.
I don't know if he's going to get a pass because he is, though. And then people are going to dump on Zibanejad.
Hard to say. Depends on who they're playing with.
He might get a pass, but you're certainly right. He's going to have a lot of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, Cowan.
Not fan pressure, but team pressure, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes,
exactly. He has to be able to produce the way he did last year, if not more so.
Like a guy like McCulloch, the fans might pressure him, but I don't think he's going to... We know what you're getting with McCulloch.
And he's looking better as the year went on.
He's not going to get better.
But he was looking better.
I don't mean it in a negative way.
He was looking better as the year went on.
He needs to get to the net and stick in front. Yeah. That's where he's been successful.
Yeah.
And he as the year went on, he got his speed back. Because I remember I was listening to some early episodes last year, and he could skate, but he couldn't turn.
Yeah.
Because his knees were still, he was still kind of getting used to them. He had trouble turning. By the end of the year, he can actually skate and turn. And so he was quick, but he was also agile. So hopefully whoever he's playing with can use that to their advantage. But I was going to, the names I had was Zibanejad, Cowan, Turris. Eric Karlsson.
He'll be fine.
I'm not too worried about him.
Him and his partner. He and his partner both have to play well because...
He'll be fine.
So you're okay with the same season as last year?
For him?
Yes.
I think so.
With a minus 35.
Oh, I don't... I look at last year, the stats
were off. The power play
off.
Was all messed up and you got a ton of shorthanded goals. Nobody else is supporting him. There's a lot of factors. I don't think it was really... directly related to his play. He is what he is.
He is what he is.
He's
going to
turn it over and people dump on him for that, but he also takes it back.
He does, but I think he needs to be more responsible with it like he was before.
I think he'll be all right.
I think he'll be all right, but I think his play needs to be better.
Was he responsible or was it Mathot was hammering people?
Well, then maybe Mathot shouldn't be hammering people.
Which is what I think happened because he used to throw the hip checks and always get penalties. Even though they were clean
penalty
hits.
For a clean hit, yeah. We talked about that a few times last year.
That's Crosby.
But I'm not saying the plus minus is the be all and end all. I'm not.
Yeah.
But it is a telling stat. It's a stat that doesn't lie. There are reasons why it looks that way, and there are a lot of them. But it doesn't lie. The bottom line.
Carlson's an instinctual player, and you'll see him because sometimes he goes out of position because his instincts tell him where the play is going to go. So he goes there, and if the play doesn't go there because whoever has the puck isn't as instinctive as he is, the play falls apart.
True.
So I guess that's more of being responsible in regards to, okay, I know that this is where you think it's going to go, but be prepared for it not to go there.
Exactly. And I mean, it's all about responsibility. I think that's what I want to see because...
And that's where, when I said Jason Smith being an assistant coach is going to help a lot.
I don't think they played as a team very well last year.
No, they didn't.
There were too many players. I think the biggest problem last year is everybody was trying to fix the problem by themselves. Everybody was trying to fix the problem by themselves by overdoing. You go back to when Paul McLean was hired, he said, I want players to play their game. I want them to do what they can do. I don't want them to try to do too much. I want them to be able to do what's asked of them, but what's asked of them is going to be within their capability.
Which is why I play Greening, Smith, Neal all the time.
Because Smith wins a lot of faceoffs.
He won a lot of faceoffs. He did what he wanted them to do.
Yeah, right. He did what he was told
left-hand
to do.
Left hand shot, dude. So.
But he won a lot of faceoffs. So it's the way it was. I'm not trying to hammer on any of these players, There was the one stat that I brought up, and we talked about this. I'm looking at Pan. We talked about this when you and I were out a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Canuck, you weren't there. There were three defensemen last year whose plus minus was zero or better.
Three. The ones that didn't play?
Nope.
So let me guess. It was Chris Phillips?
Nope. He was minus five, I think. He was around the same as CeCe. This surprised me. I can be completely honest. This number really surprised me. Nope.
Okay.
You're eliminating them one by one.
Graiba.
Graiba was the top at plus nine.
Yeah.
What the hell, eh?
Well,
he's a good stay-at-home guy.
He's a stay-at-home guy who doesn't play a lot of power play, so he doesn't get scored on shorthanded during a power play.
Great. So, no, that's true.
Any guesses on the other two? The other two were both zero.
You're running out.
Yeah. Was it Cowan?
Cowan was zero. Wow. Yes. So for all the complaints about him being, you know, completely irresponsible and always letting in all these goals, his plus minus was zero.
Ten in two games is really bad.
Yeah.
He let in 10 goals in two games and it was just atrocious.
Yeah. So we had two really bad games. Oh. Erik Karlsson had a minus 35. How many bad games did he have?
Well, that's all because of the power play.
The other zero was Mathot.
I remember this.
Mathot was zero.
How is Mathot and Karlsson have a 35-point difference?
No, they weren't playing together very much last year. Remember? They didn't play together all that much.
So who else played with Karlsson?
Oh, everybody.
Was it Cowan?
No, Cowan.
No, they cycled through a lot of people.
Yeah, it was a rotating door,
but
really.
Okay, it was everyone but Weirkosh.
Pretty much. Weirkosh didn't play very much.
So everybody else was like 0-0.
Like a lot of it was power play, but I just find this number interesting because it's a statistic that you go, how can that possibly
be? Does the other D see that Carlson's the last man back, so he just gets off the ice to keep his stats up?
No, I wouldn't think so. That's a Nintendo move. Oh. Well, it's a breakaway.
Is that
ice.
Button you push?
Circle.
Line change. I finally got to play that game at the Fan Fest.
Yeah, I know. You scored what? Like three goals?
And I scored most of the goals. It was NHL 14, 15, whatever they're playing at the Fan Fest.
Isn't 15 the new one?
Sense Blogger.
Never played it before.
Yeah, last year one.
Ended up scoring all the goals.
Oh, with the blogger thing in August. Okay.
Lost the game in a shootout, though.
Shootout's impossible in that thing.
Yeah.
I imagine it probably is.
It's just a fancy contest. Much like the game.
It's a home run, Gervy. That's all it is. You were talking about Jason Smith, and he is now officially, he was a consultant for player development. He's now officially an assistant coach.
Yep.
Working with the defense. And now the new consultant for player development is Sean Donovan.
Oh, yes.
Good to see. I guess that means he's not an assistant coach with the 67s anymore.
It's a good promotion for him.
Very good promotion for him. And I mean, he loves working with, I mean, he started working with the 67s because he really likes working with young players and helping them develop and helping them work on whatever it is they need to work on. So very good news. I was happy to hear that.
I guess this gives Mark Reeds or Reeves?
Reeds.
Reeds?
Reeds, R-E-E-D-S.
So I'm guessing he'll be the eye in the sky, so that'll be a little bit easier for his medical needs.
Could well be, yeah, because I was going to say he still, I don't know whether his medical condition stuff is ongoing or whether it was in the past, but yep. He could well be.
Speaking of which, great to see Brian Murray back at the rink.
Yeah.
A lot of color back in his face, too, and his speech is back up. Especially after the free agency, I think it was. And I was just like, he looks really tired.
He looked tired then, but when you saw him later on in the summer for something, I don't remember what it was, he had lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And he was looking a little, he was just looking really worn out, but he was also looking a little pale and a little, because I mean, like he lost like
45 pounds.
He's a big man.
And
he just kind of looked shrunk in on himself. So it's good to see,
a little bit bounce back, especially at 71, 72 years old.
And his voice sounds better too. Mm-hmm. Like he's got a bit more timber in his voice, a bit more strength behind it. So please.
So what do you think of Lazar, guys? I like what I see.
I like what I see. I still don't see the point in keeping him.
He's here for 9 games.
I don't even see the point in 9 games right now.
There are so many other players that we can use for this year.
Yep.
I mean, putting him back in junior probably won't help him develop, but it's a safe place to put him.
Yep.
Well, we work
if
with.
If Shifley scored 4 goals in the preseason a couple years ago and got sent back, I don't even think he got the 9 games.
No.
Lazar doesn't stand a chance.
Well,
but I do want to see him on Leguan's wing.
He's got a long leash right now.
He does. He hasn't even played wing yet. He was playing center again.
I like where he is positionally, though. Like he seems to be in the right place, the right time.
He's doing very
well.
He's
crashing the net.
I just don't know if he's able to push through yet.
Do you notice that, though? He's a lot of short shifts. I'm not saying that in a negative way, but he's really mindful of his time on ice. Mm-hmm.
He's getting called back.
No, I don't think so. He volunteers himself back. He takes short shifts and goes.
Who was talking about it? It wasn't Luke Richardson. It wasn't Luke Richardson, but it was one of the. It was on the radio the other day. They were actually talking about the fact that he's very conscious of his shift time and takes short shifts.
I noticed it trying to watch him on TV. It's like,
he's gone again.
Because you want, as a selfish fan, you want to get a good look at him, and it's like, you're off.
As a selfish fan, I'd love to watch him play, but as the other side of my brain, which tries to be the logical and sensible side, it loses. I admit a lot of the time, but I really like to see him go back to junior because we have so many players that we want to have a look at this year, and he would be one more.
So you're thinking the Pumples,
Pumple,
Hoffman.
Stone deserves
Hoffman.
It.
Hoffman.
Well, Stone's up, I think.
Stone's up.
I think so.
Stone's up. But he's third line. He plays right wing too, right?
Well,
can he switch?
I can't keep it all straight because they've been moving players around so much about where they're putting them to play.
If Stone can play the left side, beautiful.
I think he's more of a right winger.
Stone, Leguand.
Chiesa? No, that's his name with Zibanejad.
And then you can keep Lazar, but now you're setting Hoffman and Condra.
Yeah, I don't see it. That's why
it doesn't make sense.
I would think that Lazar going back is unfortunate.
Can Lazar be called into the NHL midseason if he's sent back?
Nope. No. Oil Kings season has to be over.
Yeah. Once he's down, he's there for the season until
so
their
unfortunate.
Season. But there are enough other players. I mean, quite frankly, if we have a ton of injuries, there are other players in Binghamton who can take the spots who aren't perfect, but they'll do. And to burn off a contract year for Curtis Lazar, when he will get, if he's playing, he'll get 8 minutes a night. I don't see the point.
I honestly don't see the point.
I think we'll see him at the start of the season, though.
I think you will.
Probably, especially if we have any injuries to deal with. But I don't think he'll be staying.
If he dips off, then I think...
Yeah, I don't think he'll be... Even if he plays well, I think he's going back because it's a numbers game.
It's like Zibanejad all over again, right?
No, different.
Well, I think there's a lot more of
Zibanejad was lack of effort.
Well, I was going
to
say.
No, I mean, originally you're running it sent back to Sweden. It's the same situation.
Oh, yeah.
He got 0 goals in 9 games.
I know. We all wanted him to stay because of the fact that we invested in that year emotionally.
Yeah. And he was a first round pick, and we want our first round picks to stay. But Sean Couturier, who was picked the same year, had a great first year and has done squats since then. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't see a problem with sending him back. It's unfortunate, but I don't think it'll be an issue, to be honest.
I won't be surprised either way, I guess.
Yeah, the only difference, though, is Swedish Elite League is a lot more competitive than CHL.
It is, and it's older players.
Yeah, but I'm guessing Samuelson also made the Avalanche. I think he's in Colorado.
Can't say.
But so that'll give Lazar more to do in Edmonton if he goes back.
Yep.
When he goes back.
He'll be back. Before we go further and talk about Binghamton and other subjects, we're going to bring on a guest to talk about promotions, ticket sales, and more. Can you get Dan on the line for us?
So on the line, we have Dan Julian from the Sens on the show once again. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Great. So now I know that your roles changed with the organization this summer. So if you can just let us know about some of the changes that's been going all around in the office.
Yeah, for sure. We've hired a new director of new sales and Jeff Ross, who's pretty well known around the community. And we also had a few promotions, including myself, up to the manager of sales level. We have four new managers in sales. So kind of building some direction here and helping out some programs. So there's a bit more mind power there and just some new staffing. We'll be making office changes inside the office soon, so getting some new space. But that's not really what the fans care about, but we're happy to be in the office, so that's always good.
Well, I hear there's going to be a lot of changes happening in terms of what fans will see at the Canadian Tire Center. Any news you can share on that front?
Completely, and change has been going on all summer, as usually happens. Lots of aesthetic changes the fans are going to see this season as soon as they start coming in. Everything should be done for opening night. Also changes in the background, so helping out the team experience. And I'm sure we'll have some more announcements as time goes on. We've added Fat Boys to our concession area in the 200 level. I know a couple of you were at the game the other night. I unfortunately had already had dinner when I walked by it, and it smelled fantastic. And I'll do my first stop on Friday, grab pulled pork there. I think that's going to be a must stop. I'll post my review on Twitter once I grab it on Friday night. And obviously, we've got a brand new supporter section up in 319. The boys over at the Red Scarf Union are helping us build that for 10 games and should help bring some energy to the building.
Now, I think I heard that you will now be able to use Canadian Tire money at the Canadian Tire Center. Is that still true, or is that just a preseason thing, or is that going to continue?
Well, you've got that pretty much right. It is a preseason thing. So fans are listening to this podcast on October 1st, October 2nd, October 3rd, before the game here, can still grab that out of their glove compartment, their safe, or wherever they do keep that valuable money, and bring it down and use concessions at the Sens store, in different areas in the building. And it's a good way to use Canadian Tire money if that's been sitting and you've been accumulating it. We actually had a lot of redemptions at the first preseason game. I believe, I'm trying to remember the numbers, but I think over 10,000 different bills were submitted.
Oh, 10,000 bills.
Okay. Like, yeah, not $10,000, because that would have been probably 50,000 bills. all those nickels and whatnot. But I think over 10,000 different bills were submitted for that. So people dug in their glove compartments and all the other safe areas. They keep it.
So it's the middle of intermission, you're in a hurry, you get in a very really long lineup, and you're right about up there, and it's the person in front of you is like, that'd be $1.80. So 5, 10, 15, 35, 40. Oh, hang on, I got another bag.
I got all these 45. Ones.
Give me a second, I got a few more nickels here. Let's see what happens. But, you know what, that's what we did for preseason. We wanted people to have a chance to use it, but at the same time, as you said, not have that person counting up all their red 5-cent Canadian Tire bills. But it was a great promotion. People really loved it. And, myself, I had a couple dollars, so I'll be bringing them out to Friday night and probably be using it on that aforementioned pulled pork.
Now, you mentioned the supporter section, and that's going to be Section 319 that you're working with the Red Scarf Union for that? Is that going
correct,
to be...
Correct.
Now, I've heard that that's actually, that section's pretty much sold out for the home opener and you might have to extend it. Is that in fact the case, that that sort of promotional activity is going to be extended to a section next to it, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, you're correct on both fronts, and how great is that? So 319 has been turned into, Rose 8H have been turned into a supported section. Red Scarfing has been promoting it throughout the summer. And it's been so popular, we had to actually extend it to 318 for the home opener. Let's hope it gets popular enough that we're extending into other sections. But they'll be standing, they'll be cheering, they'll be waving their flags. It's a higher energy section. You can buy the individual games, kind of like people have for the home opener. You can buy a 5-game pack or you can buy a 10-game pack. So if you want to access that, you can do so on Send Supporters at OttawaSenators.com, and people can get access to that opening night and then try it out and get the other 9 games, or they can just get the 10 games now because at that low price, it won't last long.
Yeah, and just tell them the Pan sent you too, right?
Yeah, definitely mention the Pan sent you, and we'll try to load you guys up with a couple more Molson products when you tape this.
There you go. Then we can probably get some more getaways or giveaways and things like that. Now, that's the one thing about the supporter section, and I've been somewhat critical of it, but the price of it is really, really good.
Yeah, that's correct, and it's obviously trying to reach a fan base that you know, might be younger, might be louder, might in the past have said, you know, oh, we want to cheer, we're not comfortable doing so at times, and you know, we're trying to specify this area so they can, you know, be as loud as they want, as long as they're respectful towards other fans, either of our team or opposing teams. And the price helps. So obviously, when you're paying $400 for a 10-game pack in that area, it's a pretty enticing offer. So, you know, it's something that we've taken a bit of a look around the different leagues and different sports and said, you know, this is something that could help our atmosphere without truly, you know, manufacturing an atmosphere, without trying to create it artificially, truly getting something that's natural. So it's been working pretty well.
So a question for you, Dan. How can we help? How can our listeners help with your efforts that you're trying to bring this season?
You know what? Definitely if they can spread the word, if they can, you know, if they want to come out to a game, let us know. Don't wait around. Big games will sell out. We've already got a few games that are heading towards sell out. You know, so as I said, spread the word. Contact me on Twitter at my Twitter handles at DJUDEEJYYOU. Mention the podcast, as I said, and we'll load you guys up with a few goodies. But definitely just be active, be positive, and you know, if you see a good offer, pass it along to your friends.
Now, other than this, the new Send Supporter section, there are always promotions that go on during the year. You know, there'd be, you know, what sort of promotions are you doing? Rather than me asking or guessing at them, just throw them at some of the things that you'll be doing this year.
Completely, and I think you guys, a couple of you were at FanFest, and did you guys get your Kyle Turris bobblehead there?
Only got 4 of them.
Perfect. I won't ask any questions, but yeah, so that was the first little promotion with the Kyle Turris bobblehead, kind of a preview, because we've announced we're going to do 2 more, and they'll feature Eric Carlson and Chris Phillips, and we'll announce more information on how to acquire those very soon. So you guys can get 1 for each or 4 for all 3 of you. I'm not exactly sure how that works. We also have different ticket packages available, food-wise, food-related, which I'm always interested in seeing. But we've got the Pizza Power Pack. It's $30 a ticket. You get a slice and a Coca-Cola product at CTC. So for $30, you get your meal and your game. And we still have the Subway Zone, which, you know, you purchase your ticket, and you get a voucher for a free 6-inch. Now, have you guys heard about Throwback Tuesday or Thursday? Sorry.
That's a 6-inch sub, right?
Sorry?
That was a 6-inch sub that you get?
Oh, yeah, that's a Subway Zone promotion.
Oh, okay. But,
have you guys heard about Throwback Thursdays?
Nope.
Lay it on us.
well, hashtag TBT is pretty popular amongst all those kids on Twitter. So we're going to do that during our Thursday night games. The players will be wearing the Heritage jerseys. We invite everyone in the crowd to wear their Heritage jerseys. They know that that night they can wear the same jersey as the players, and it will be the black and white red one. And at the same time, if they arrive before 7 p.m., not only they beat the rush to the arena, but they can also enjoy dollar hot dogs and dollar soft drinks. So a bit more of a nod to our history, nod to our fans. There'll obviously be some promotions relating back to the 20-plus years of the Ottawa Senators history also. So that'll be a fun night on Thursdays. And I guess the last one will be our game packs. You know, if people want to come out to games, as we've discussed, if they know three games they want to come out to, go log on to Capital Tickets, give us a call, because you choose those three games and the games you want, you get a small discount, and you start getting a bit of those privileges leading up towards the season seat benefits. So we'll have more announcements soon, but those are kind of the things that are pretty exciting right now.
Great. So, yeah, lots of changes and lots of new ideas, which is really great. I think a lot of it's been really fan-based and fan-interactive. And one thing that we'll just touch on is the community visits that the team did over the summer, especially going into some of the, I guess you could say, fringe blue markets, just to get more interaction with hockey fans out there. So I really like that. So yeah, I think that's there's a lot to look forward to for this season. So I think that's about it. And Dan, maybe if you want to leave us with your contact information one more time.
Yeah, for sure. As I said, you can reach me at on Twitter. You can contact me there at @DJUDEJYYOU. And mention this podcast. You can give me a call or shoot me a text at 613-296-8262. Hopefully this podcast doesn't get to too many people and my phone doesn't blow up here. But one last thing I'll mention is we created a package for those communities, as we discussed. We launched on the first preseason game. It's called My Sense 10. Pretty simple concept. Choose your 10 games. Choose where you want to sit. We'll set you up, and we'll set you up with a discounted price. You'll get the benefits of being a Sens package holder and discount on your ticket package. And if you purchase before opening night, we'll give you a free pair of bonus tickets in the 300 level. So that's hashtag MySens10, which we will see a lot about. And as I said, anyone who mentions this podcast will reward the boys with a couple beers at a time. So these podcasts may get even livelier somehow.
Wow. Excellent. All right, we're going to make sure we plug that a lot. We're going to get lots of people to phone in.
There you go. Great.
All right, thanks for coming on, Dan.
Hey, thank you guys for having me, as always. Hopefully everyone's excited for the season. I've seen your tweets, so I know the three of you are very excited. And obviously, let's get off to a win right off the start on opening night. Let's fill the building up, and let's get it going.
Right on. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, guys.
Couple of bingo notes and we can move. Are there players you want to talk about specifically? I was going to talk about a couple of the people in Binghamton. And
love to talk about Milan Mikolic.
Why?
Get off my team!
I'm okay with him.
He's my whipping boy for three more years.
Could be worse. you mentioned Evanston.
Because I'm going easy on Phillips.
You mentioned Evanston, Illinois. That's our new ECHL affiliate, the Icemen.
Yep.
New 5-year agreement to be our affiliate. I don't know what happened with Elmira, which is unfortunate because Elmira is so damn close.
Right next
is it
to
the
Binghamton.
Devils?
Yeah,
I think the Devils took it.
I think I couldn't say, so I'll take your word for that on that one. But
I don't remember this.
Of all the players who are now back with Binghamton, and well, they're over in France at the moment, or players who were during the rookie camp, I was really impressed with Nicholas Paul. He's big.
He
oh
is.
My goodness, he is huge.
The three Dallas guys are massive.
We got some size back. Yeah, we lost Jason Spezza, but we got some big young players who can skate. They've got hands. They've got size.
Yeah,
very impressive.
I think he and Ben Harper and Curtis Lazar will all be on Team Canada for the World Juniors.
Ben Harper was awesome.
Yeah.
I really liked watching him play.
And he was a fourth or fifth round pick, Ben Harper? I'd have to go back and look. I know he wasn't an early round pick.
Yeah, something like that.
But I was very, very impressed with the way they were playing.
There
was
Buddy Robinson.
Scored tonight.
Fantastic player.
Yeah, big too.
Big. 6'5", 6'4", 6'5". Yeah,
he's a big lad. He was a free agent, I think. Oh, no.
No, I think he's a pick.
Was he a pick? I can't keep them all straight. I have to go back and look. I have notes on this somewhere, but I'm too lazy to pull them out.
But no, he's played extremely well.
Yep. Well, that's why he's still here. He didn't go over to... I feel kind of sorry for the team, the guys who are playing on the Binghamton team over in France. They're missing all the stars. All the stars are still here.
Hey, they're happy to go to France.
Well, they're going to France. But
free trip to France when you make $50,000 a year, it's
not a bad deal. All expenses paid. Mm. If you happen to be available Saturday afternoon, the game will be on the radio. No. Grady Robinson or Grady Wittenberg will be will be calling the game, and it'll be on Team 1200 as well as on Oldies 96.
Who are they playing over there?
They're playing Syracuse.
Costa.
Syracuse.
Okay.
On the first, they're playing three games. Syracuse is the first and third game, and the second game is some team from France. No, Stefan DaCosta's in the KHL.
I know. You think they set up this trip just to try to keep him?
I don't know. Can't say. Around the league.
Now I know where this is going to go.
Former Senators.
Yep.
Playing in other places.
Or not playing in other places.
Or not. I don't know who you're talking about with that.
Go ahead.
Well, the first one I want to talk about is one we talked about a great deal last year, which is Corey Conacher. Well, there was a lot of fan angst about when he was waived. We should have kept this asset. You know, well, we couldn't trade for him. So they waived him and he went to Buffalo. Buffalo didn't keep him. No. He's now playing for the Islanders. With a 1-year contract.
And if you saw the backlash from Islanders fans, oh my God.
He was playing with Tavares.
They were pissed.
He's playing with Tavares and Okposo tonight.
Oh, is he?
Against Boston.
Great, because he's playing with Spezza and McCulloch the day that he was waived.
Just saying.
Elevator boy.
Well, you see, I think a lot of people got too emotionally attached to him because of he was the result of the trade for Ben Bishop, who people were emotionally attached to.
Sure.
I like the little players that try.
Okay, he's a little inch in the cut.
I'm halfway there.
Okay. Slight tangent. You mentioned Islanders. I don't know if you saw the pictures. I think it was today tweeted on the Barclays Center. It was basically images mocked up of what it was going to look like for hockey in the Barclays Center.
Are they playing there this year?
No,
next year. And you know, we've talked a little bit before in past seasons on this, but it was really striking as the one photo they had of the being on one side. If you're sitting in a certain section, you cannot even see the goal close to you. You can see the far goal. You can only see like the it was like the red line at the face-off dots, whatever that's called, the hash line.
What is this?
Yeah. Well, you know, have you ever been to a concert at the CTC and you notice that the Zamboni end, it's about the first 8 or 10 rows are all folded back in?
Yeah.
Okay, well, imagine the glass goes right to where those seats are.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
But the scoreboard, which is at center court for basketball, is now at the far blue line because the ice extends into
it's
the
ridiculous.
Seats.
So the scoreboard's off center. Like.
Well, it's on center for basketball, but because they have to extend the playing surface into the seats where you'd put a stage for a concert. Yeah. So you're sitting in row, I don't know, let's say K or L, and you're at the glass, but the glass is below 15 feet below you.
Yep. So the goalie's also alone.
Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's peculiar, to be sure.
Just move.
Well, they're doing it next year.
It's a fantastic location.
Yeah, it's
like good. Downtown Brooklyn is fun, but
it's a beautiful new building.
I don't know if they can change anything on it.
Or they can't because the building was built for basketball.
Maybe they'll figure something out, like a reno, but it's going to be interesting.
It'll be curious, but I mean, they're going to be into New York, so we'll see whether they can get better crowds or not.
You know what? The old Boston Forum had obstructed views. There'd be pillars and stuff. So
old Montreal Forum did.
Yes.
I can remember going and sitting up way up in the Blues, and you had to sort of go like a quarter to get to your...
better than Civic Center.
Oh, no, it was way worse than the Civic Center.
Two or three levels and then just...
It was way... Like, imagine going up to a section where you have to go through a doorway that's as wide as my shoulders, and there's one staircase to go up to that section,
and there's 500 people sitting up there. And the only way up there is through this one door. It was ridiculous, but it was the Montreal Forum. So,
so those Wars for Shard riots must have been really something else.
Before my time.
I remember the Maple Leaf Gardens. I went, I was sitting, it was a preseason game. I was thinking it was like the last row in the back, right?
Okay.
And the Grays, I think they were. Anyway, you're back in the back. The seats, you're like this, you know, crammed right in. And you can't, if you look straight ahead, you see basically the press boxes. You can't see the scoreboards. you could see the ice. You could see the whole ice. It was fun, but
it's like sitting in the top row, the very top row of the Civic Center. If you're at center ice, you have to look down past all the boxes to get to the ice. Sure. You can't see the clock.
Like that.
Yeah, you can't see the bathrooms clock. Were like, you know, the male bathrooms had the troughs. Sorry.
What is this? This is the Highland Games out in Maxville. I'm going to go take a leak in a trough.
Fans and cheer together, pee together.
Yeah, but old arenas had character.
Oh,
and they had hot water. They may have had a trough to take a leak in, but they had hot water.
Yeah, we should
have. Should have asked Dan about that.
Wait, we haven't had Dan on yet, have we?
Oh, no,
oh, the magic of podcasting.
Oh, yeah. Well,
the fact that it's free.
That's right. Well, you'll be hearing this after you hear the interview with Dan. Because
hey, Dan, can we get hot water at the Canadian Tire Center?
Other players on the move. I don't know who you were thinking I'm going to be talking about, so I'm going to go through a whole list, and you can tell me which one it was. Peter Regan is now in Chicago.
He was there last year, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. The one I'm very, very pleased about
is... for him for still being alive.
Jesse Winchester signed a two-year deal with Colorado.
Another reason I'm excited for that trip.
Very happy about that. Buffalo.
He gets reunited with Andre Benoit, too.
Nope. Andre Benoit is in Buffalo.
Buffalo.
With Andre Mazaros.
Tim Murray.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Nashville has Anton Volchenkov.
Yep.
And Brian Lee was there on a PTO, but I don't know whether, I think
he got cut.
I think he got cut. I'm not sure about that.
Bugs Bowl was making fun of him.
And Nashville has some really interesting signings. Volchenkov is playing for $1 million because he was a buyout.
1 year one.
1 year one because he was a buyout. So he has all the other money from his old contract.
Yeah, I don't think that's just...
Derek?
It's just be a plug, sign the 1 year, and then we'll decide.
We'll sign after that. And while you're at it, we'll sign Derek Roy for $1 million, and we'll sign Mike Ribeiro for $1.05 million for exactly the same reasons. They both have buyouts.
Yeah.
Because Mike Fisher is out indefinitely after Achilles surgery.
Yeah.
Other
and Ribeiro doesn't deserve any of it because he's a dick.
Others, no more than that. Other Senators, Martin Havlat signed for 1.5 with New Jersey.
Wow.
Forgot about that one.
Yeah. And New Jersey released...
Totally would have taken him back.
They released two very well-known names today from who I guess were on PTOs.
Thomas Carbley was one.
Was one.
I giggled.
And the other one was Ruslan Fedotenko.
Yeah, he's old.
Oh, yeah, actually. I thought it was...
38 or something like that now.
Oh, I know who you might be thinking of. Mm. I think you might be thinking of Anaheim.
Oh, no.
Anaheim has signed Danny Heatley for $1 million. Quite the
great tweet, by the way.
So Bobby Ryan couldn't crack the top line at Anaheim, but Danny Heatley is the answer.
Exactly.
For a million bucks
to play with Getzlaff and Perry.
And now he's injured.
Is he?
Groin.
Oh, that's right, because I tweeted about that yesterday. That's right.
You should remember.
Meanwhile, Dallas, as we spoke earlier, has Spezza Hemsky.
Spezza.
makes him sound Russian, doesn't it? Spezza Hemsky and Patrick Eves. And Arizona has Rob Klinkhammer. So I don't know who you were talking about. Oh, are you talking about Detroit?
Yep.
Oh, okay. that guy.
Player number 11.
Yeah, Daniel.
Who is skating again.
Oh.
And apparently he's going to skate for a week and figure out whether he's going to be able to play or not. I thought there was a very interesting quote from Mike Babcock today, which was, he said, "We want Daniel Alfredsson, but we don't want a part-time player."
Mm-hmm.
Which, when you have a back problem, as we all know with other players who've had back problems, they can be only part-time players because you don't know when it's going to flare up. I thought it was a really, really interesting and very telling.
You're in or out?
Well, you're in, but...
They've got to make their own team decisions too, right?
Well, yes, but I think it's a very telling, you know, we want him, but if he's not ready to be able to play 70 games...
Daniel should have been back here in the organization somehow.
Not, no.
Won't be for a couple of years.
No.
He won't be until the team is sold.
Yeah.
He will not work for Melnick, and Melnick will not hire him. Remember when Chris Chelios stuck around just a little too long?
To age 48? After, you know what he did for his training?
He went to Atlanta, and then he got sent down and finished his career with the Chicago Wolves.
That's right.
Call it a life.
Well, he trained like a demon, though.
He did.
He used to ride a stationary bike in a sauna. I'm not joking.
I wouldn't even go to the sauna.
I mean, I like spending time in a sauna, but I can only usually sit there for 15 or 20 minutes. Riding a bicycle, yeah, I don't think so.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with Daniel Alfredson. There, I actually said his name for the first time in I don't know how long. We'll see.
Tie up the skates and put them away.
I think it's about that time. But if he does, then he has to move.
That's fine.
Well, we'll see where he moves to.
It'll be Canada.
Somewhere, I would imagine. Probably Ottawa, but maybe Robin will let him live in his old house. Can't say.
The letter doesn't let anyone live anywhere.
Especially his Perona.
Yeah. I think Spetz's house is still up for sale.
So. Yeah, I could use that one, I suppose. Anyway.
Did Fisher's house ever sell?
Yes, it did over the summer. Yeah.
Oh.
It did.
Wasn't me.
It wasn't me either.
I found one house on my search, one around here, $8.4 million.
Nice.
In this area?
Beachwood.
Manor Park? Area. Manor Park, up north of Oakley?
Where all the lawyers and all of them live.
Manor Park.
Is it? Okay. Yeah, $8.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Who can afford that?
Another lawyer. One who's a full partner in a very large firm. Columbus Blue Jackets. You've been following the Ryan Johansson story?
Somewhat.
He's 21 years old. He's apparently looking for $6.5 million a year.
He wants Kessel money? Yeah.
He's looking for, Kessel money. Yeah. For a 21-year-old who's had one good season. Mm. And both the GM and the team president have been like, no.
But he doesn't have any rights.
None at all. Doesn't even have rights to arbitration. He's too young for it. So he's just holding out. So meanwhile, his two line mates, Boone Jenner,
that's it.
Has a broken
hand.
I was going to say arm. I couldn't remember what it was. And Nathan Horton hasn't skated since injuring his back while jogging. So that they could be starting the season.
Sounds like something I'd do.
At least he wasn't eating pancakes.
He won't be. This Columbus
not
could
that
be starting.
Know anything about that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a long summer.
Nice. That's solid right there. No, Columbus could be starting the season with no first line. Wouldn't that be fun? Luongo trade.
Sense problems.
You wanted to talk. Well, I wanted you to talk about the Luongo trade specifically. Because the goalie, I can't think of his first name, Markstrom?
Jakob Markstrom.
They trade, who was one of the assets that came in the Luongo trade when Luongo was moved to Florida.
With Sean Mathias.
Sean Mathias and Markstrom?
Yep.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Markstrom is making more than $1 million. He's cleared waivers and is now in the AHL making NHL money.
Yep.
That trade's looking worse by the minute.
It's Luongo trades.
As opposed,
I love Luongo trades.
Okay, well, you want to talk about Luongo trades?
Yeah, I can do them again. I did it last year, but
we'll talk about the Miller trade afterwards because that didn't work out too well for St. Louis. Go ahead.
Yeah, they're okay with it though. So running back on the history. So as we mentioned, Luongo and Stephen Anthony to the Panthers for Markstrom and Sean Mathias. Mathias, I think, is a fringe player anyway. When he got to Vancouver traded away Todd Bertuzzi, Brian Allen, Alex Sald.
Well, that's the original trade. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The Islanders, because they got to pick for Rick DiPietro, didn't need Luongo anymore.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Only that, they also gave up Olli Jokinen with them to get Mark Parrish and Oleg Kvasha.
Oh my! Has anybody ever made a decent trade for Roberto Luongo?
And he was drafted fourth overall by the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
In the trade, that Toronto gave up that pick to get Wendell Clark back.
So Toronto's fourth overall pick went to the Islanders for Wendell Clark.
Yeah,
and that's what they selected Roberto Luongo with. And they later traded
him. So the Leafs could have had Luongo.
Oh, that's rich.
Yeah.
That's even better than Andrew Raycroft for Tuukka Rask.
Oh, simmer.
Oh, that's rich. No, they would have found a way to run him out of town already and ruined him.
We don't need a Montrealer.
Oh.
Montrealer in Toronto? No way.
I had forgotten that
Felix
one.
Felix Potvin.
I had forgotten that
one. It was awesome, by the way. I really liked Felix Potvin.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, never trade for Luongo.
Apparently not. You're going to get schooled. One quick little note about San Jose. And you can update me because I was looking for this, but I haven't seen it.
Tire fire? No offense, CJ.
Well, first you had Blake, who was the captain, and he was stripped of the captain to give it to Marlo. Mm-hmm. And then Marlo was stripped of the captaincy to give it to Thornton.
Yep.
And Marlo was given an A.
Yep.
And now Thornton and Marlo have been both stripped of their letters, but they're being given the opportunity to win them back in preseason. Talk about a leadership vortex in that team. Tire fire. That's not a bad analogy.
Yeah. It's like, should you not be firing the GM and or coach? Because you're fractioning the players versus the management.
Well, exactly. I don't understand the thinking. Like, I don't. I admit, are they thinking that they're going the next captain is going to be Logan Couture?
I think so,
because he was the captain.
But then they should have given it to him, or maybe not extend both of those guys.
We haven't even talked about Ottawa captain stuff.
Well, this is a good lead into doing that. Then, sorry, that wasn't in my notes because it hasn't been decided on yet. But
poor Chris Phillips.
Well, in a way, it is poor Chris Phillips.
Yep.
Because, you know, in some ways he deserves it, but he's also at the tail end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And do you give the captain to a guy who might be the one in the press box sometimes? Maybe. I don't know. Imagine us getting in the playoffs and he's the guy in the press box. That's going to be awkward.
I advocated.
I don't think he would be, though.
He might not be, but
I don't think
he
would be.
I'm
but
throwing it out there. Like,
I advocated for him being the right choice for captain before the beginning of last season. And I still think he's the right choice. I honestly still do.
I do. Do. The only thing, can you just imagine?
It's old guard.
I would like a change, but because he's here.
But maybe you do it and you do it for a season and state it that way. Chris Phillips is the captain for this season.
Got 2 years.
Or, you know, for while he's...
Unless he Cunnyworths it and gives it down.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which would actually be kind of nice. But
a lot of people want Carlson, kind of the fate of the franchise, Sidney Crosby kind of thing.
He's got enough.
I was going to say, I'd rather Carlson spends his time concentrating on improving his game.
Oh, me too.
Than having to worry about that role as well.
I've heard some people really want Turris to have it.
Well, Turris
has spent a lot of time doing leadership roles. He was the captain of Team Canada at the World Championships last year.
Now, how'd that work out? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think it's his fault.
No.
But he has a lot of leadership in his background.
Yep.
So
give it to Lazar.
10 years from now, but...
Oh, yeah. Burns.
Oh, still working down that thing?
Still working on that little bit. Cheers.
But
I like this. This is very tasty.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, can you just imagine Phillips' conversation with Paul McLean and Brian Murray last summer? You know what, Chris? You're a second choice. Sorry, but we're just going to give it to Spezza. He's basically the franchise number one C top point producer. Okay, fun.
How'd that go?
You move him out. This summer, goes back in. It's like, you said it was second choice. It's like, we're considering you, but we're going to choose no one instead.
Can't say.
That's why I feel bad for him.
I do. I think it's an awkward situation, and I think whatever choice they make will be awkward, no matter who they choose. The only thing I ask is they don't go with none. Don't pull a Montreal Canadiens. Choose somebody, for crying out loud. You know, have the nads to actually...
Craig Anderson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's gone well.
So back to the Luongo dreams.
No, I really don't want three alternate captains with no captain. I really want somebody to have a C on them.
Does
I think
it really
it's
a, matter?
I think it's important not just for appearances. I think it's important for the team to say that we actually believe in our people enough to do this.
Yeah.
And that's more of a public relations
it discounts
thing.
Discounts a lot of them.
That's more than a public, more of a public relations move than anything that goes on in the dressing room. I think the dressing room is just fine no matter what they do. Honestly, no matter what they do, it'll be fine. But as a public relations and appearances move, they need to do not a Montreal Canadiens.
Well, if Chris Phillips gets it, I yeah. expect to see like a captain's brew, big Ooh, rig,
captain's brew. Hire. That'd be good. I'd be all over that. Get a growler of that for when I'm going up the line.
That's right.
Absolutely. We have one email to read. Who wants? Does somebody
I'm
want
not
to?
Reading it.
You're not reading it. Do you want to read it? I have it here. If you want
is
me
this
to.
This email from Homer.
Yeah. The whole email from Homer. You can.
I'll read it.
You read it. Excellent. That means I don't have to.
Way to go, Homer, by the way. Way to get an email in.
Yeah.
Right before we record it, too. So season 3 already? Wow. Seems like only yesterday we were listening to Stooley getting Shredder all riled up. Glad to see you're back for another season. If I remember correctly, wasn't Pan renovating his basement at the end of last season? I'm sure the new digs are up to par with a new $4.5 million Sportsnet studio.
Yeah, we're moving out.
We're going to have a new studio in about a month to 6 weeks.
Yeah. It's been up for a while now, but I like the new website. So if the Sens Underground is no more, what does that mean? Are we no longer groundhogs? What are we? We listeners need an identity.
You're donators.
Oh, easy now.
Donate to the show.
Easy now.
Actually, you know what? He brings up a good question there.
I don't
know. What are the Sens Call-Ups listeners going to be called?
Folks, if you have ideas, send it to podcast.
You might just win a contest, actually. So that maybe that's a good contest idea. Send in your ideas.
I've got one of those tons of the tourist dolls, too.
I have a couple of Red Scarf Union scarves that I can
And I've
donate.
Got a Sens toaster.
What? Yeah. A Sens toaster?
Toaster bread. You get the Sens logo on it.
Fan Fest.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear about that
See,
one.
See, I kind of need that.
Okay. Short I'll buy you a $6 toaster at Loblaws.
But I want the Sens one.
No, that's going to go to a user.
All right.
Listener, maybe.
Back to Homer's email.
Sorry, Homer.
Okay, back to reality. How will the Sens do this year? Who knows? With Spezza gone, someone or several someones will have to pick up the offense and his 54% faceoff stats. When he was injured, the team was able to rally and compete on most nights. Hopefully the coaches can remind them of that. Last season, too many players were guilty of trying to do too much. In McLean's first year, I remember a comment that he wanted his players to do what they are good at and not try too much. It's up to him and the coaching staff to find the right combinations. Hope to see some good things this season, on the ice and off the ice with the new TV coverage. Homer. Thanks again for the email, Homer.
I think he makes some pretty good points, most of which you've already talked about because we never remember to read email earlier. Yeah, especially when email comes in 2 hours before
goal
the recording.
Goal scoring is going to be a challenge. I don't know if we got the pieces.
I don't think we're going to be a finesse goal scoring team. I think we need to be a lunch pail goal scoring team.
I think we need
I'm
to
happy
be,
with that.
Yeah, you know, park yourself in front of the net and get the dirty goals kind of team with the occasional
and let Bobby Ryan do everything.
I was gonna say with the occasional Bobby Ryan, Eric Carlson highlight reel. Yeah. That's what we see once every 3 games, and the rest of them are just dirty, ugly. Chris Neal, Milan McCulloch, and everybody else crashing in, you know, in front of the net. I'm fine with
that. No Spezza dangles.
I think Bobby Ryan can probably out dangle him.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Anybody else you want to talk about, or shall we wrap this up? It's their first one. Yeah. We're a little rusty on this, so.
Well, I think, well, we've got to talk to Dan, too, so. Now's as good time as any.
Ah, that was earlier in the show. I dropped it in. You forgot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay, well, thank you.
The miracles of modern
Whatever,
radio.
It's free.
Miracles of modern radio is we're talking about something that you've already heard. Never mind. Oh. In the week to come.
Who knows?
In the week to come, we got some more preseason games. Real season starts in what? I don't even know what the date of the home
opener. Thursday the 9th, I think it is.
That's not the home
Nashville
opener.
Game?
Nashville game.
16th or something. I don't know.
That's the home opener, 16th? Yeah, well, something like that. I have to look at the tickets that are to my right.
Oh, there. Wait. The app works now.
Okay. We're all going to be at the home opener, I believe.
We are.
Come say hi.
Hither and yon.
If you're there.
I will be in the...
fan zone.
I'll be in the fan zone.
Should really call it the fan belt. I really like
fan
that.
Fan belt, yeah.
We've got to talk to Dan about that.
I will tweet Dan about that later, exactly.
The fan belt.
Well, that's what I wanted the 300 level to be called. I mentioned that last year when when they renamed it to the Canadian Tire Center. The 300 level should be the fan belt.
Yeah, well, I'm going to miss both Montreal games, so we may not be back till the season starts.
Oh, I don't think we'll be back for a couple of weeks. Because, I mean, a couple of preseason games is hard to base an entire podcast on.
So, we'll be first three games.
Okay.
Thursday the 9th against Nashville. Saturday the 11th against Tampa Bay. And Monday the 13th against Florida.
Excellent. And then we'll be back before the home opener. Okay, that works. Because that'll be, oh, wait a minute, that's right around Thanksgiving. We might not be back until...
It's 2 days after.
Okay, we'll see. We'll have to see.
What? It's free.
Okay, exactly. We'll be back when we're damn well good and ready to be back. How about that?
Unless you donate.
Yeah, if somebody wants
Come
to pay
on,
us a lot...
donators, donate.
Want to pay us
Apparently
a lot of
we
cash.
We need like a microphone and an adapter. And
We've had
we some, don't even have a power plug.
We've had some equipment issues. I broke off the key, the only key I had to my car in the lock.
Call-ups always have car issues once a year.
Pan's using a friggin' rock star microphone.
We have a borrowed soundboard because we seem to have misplaced pieces of it. It's been quite the adventure. Before we go, I had one thing I forgot to mention right off the top that I wanted to mention. We had a donation from a listener over the summer.
Yes.
They're an anonymous donator. But I wanted to apologize on air because when the donation came through, we were all kind of in our own down zone and we didn't kind of notice it came in right away. At least I didn't.
I noticed.
Oh, did you? Okay. Well, I know I didn't notice it right away.
He was hoping we didn't.
Damn it.
Touché. So that's what paid for that bottle of whiskey. Okay. I kind of felt a little bit bad about it because we didn't acknowledge it right away. And I mean, we certainly do appreciate when people donate to this show, and I try and acknowledge it right away. I just honestly didn't see it. It might have been when I was away fishing. I'm not sure.
It was.
But all donations are truly appreciated. And this user asked that we not mention them, and that's or listener asked that we not mention them. That's fine, but we do appreciate it. And I do honestly apologize for not acknowledging it sooner. And complete oversight just because it was the off season and I wasn't checking that email account all that often.
Yep. And we got a nice one from CB Inc. as well, which I forgot to tell you about.
Oh, I didn't know about
you
that.
You met CB Inc.
I spent that money too.
I didn't see anything out of it.
You didn't want to PayPal it.
Oh, okay.
So he gave it to me and I spent it.
It's all good.
On a microphone?
No.
It better be the beer I was drinking earlier then. Anyway.
Throw that in the account.
All right. Anyway. Okay, I think we're done. Anyone else going?
Mueller.
Right. We're glad to be back. You know, I'm certainly glad to be back. It's been fun. There's lots of hockey to come, but it may take a couple of weeks for us to get back. Honestly, I am excited about the season that's coming. It may be a bit of a lunch pail thing. It may be a bit of a some nights are frustrating thing, but it's hockey.
Yeah,
it's NHL hockey. Yep. It's back. That's really what matters. And it's...
I'm happy we didn't fight this week, too. We normally do.
I cut things out of my summary so that we wouldn't.
Oh.
Let's try to have at least one civilized show before we come to bob our heads over something. Anyway, lots of shows coming up throughout the season. We may not be back for a couple of weeks, but we'll try and be regular once the season begins. In the meantime, thanks very much for listening. Good night, everybody.
Later.
See ya.
Tonight's episode of the Sens Call-Ups is brought to you by Tap 357 Maple Whiskey, now available at the Lick Boo.
Exactly right.